Welcome to the Voices in Japan podcast with Ben and Burke. On this episode, we are joined by Mike from New Zealand and Tomoko from Japan. They're managers at the Rusutsu Lodges, which is a pension-style accommodation at the Rusutsu Ski Resort in Hokkaido, and the lodges are located within walking distance of the lifts. As many people know, Hokkaido is one of the most popular destinations in the world now for skiing, snowboarding, and other winter sports, and Rusutsu is one of the largest mountains in Hokkaido with the longest runs. Mike and Tomoko tell us about the area and also the types of customers they see coming through the lodges, and they also talk about how the coronavirus is having a big effect on the area as it comes to the end of the winter season. Neither one of them is originally from Hokkaido, so it was interesting to hear some of their impressions about the area, and they're really nice people too, so if you're in the Rusutsu area, please stop by the lodges and say hello to them. They serve shabu-shabu style meals at the Red House restaurant, which is located inside of the lodges. Alright, on to the show.
1, 2, 3.
So we have a couple people joining us tonight from Hokkaido. Well, not from Hokkaido, but working in Hokkaido. Actually, are you from Hokkaido?
No, I'm not.
Where are you from?
Ibaraki.
Ibaraki. Oh, so down near Tokyo.
Yes.
Yeah. How far is Ibaraki from Tokyo? A couple hours by train or?
1 hour by train.
1 hour by train. Okay. And Mike, you are from?
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Okay.
Half Japanese.
Half Japanese. That's right.
Father's Japanese?
My father's Japanese.
Okay, so opposite of me, my mother is Japanese, but father's American.
Ah.
Yeah, so half connection right here.
Yep.
Maybe so we got like, what, 50? No, we got like a 75% Japanese people here.
That's right.
Right? I'm the only one that has no Japanese blood at all.
That's right.
Yeah. The minority.
The minority.
But, how long have you been in Hokkaido then? Many years or?
Yeah, this is how many years? Is it 4th? Yeah, I think this is a 4th year.
And do you live here year round or you just come for the winter season?
So I stay in Niseko for a whole 3 years and a little bit more. And we left Niseko and went to a lot of places in Japan, and I came back to Rusutsu for season.
Okay. And Mike, did you come just for this season, or have you been in Hokkaido for longer than this season?
The current season?
Yeah, the current season.
No, this is the second season. So I arrived the start of the season previous.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. But you were saying before we start recording that you've actually been to Japan many times, obviously, I guess, because of the Japanese connection through your father.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how many times. I could count, I guess, but it's around 5 or 6, something like that.
Okay.
And then I decided to move to Japan. I came to Japan in 2017, a family holiday, and essentially I was like, oh, I gotta spend some time here, because I kind of neglected it when I was younger, and I was supposed to come and hang out with my uncle, and he passed away, and I kind of just like, you know, life goes on, and you know, my life is back in New Zealand, and I was like, okay, well, this time I really should come, and I kind of put the brakes on my life back in New Zealand, and decided to come to Japan, and I've kind of been here since.
Yeah. Did you grow up speaking Japanese? Do you speak Japanese now?
Some. Enough to get by.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
But there's two kind of parts to that. The first is that my father never spoke it. I can't blame him, though.
Like, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. I blame my mother for not. I have 5 kids in my family. I'm right in the middle. And my mom, she spoke Japanese to my older brother and sister, but they kind of gave up speaking around the time they were in, like, elementary school. And so when I was born and my two younger sisters were born, like, she didn't use any Japanese with us. And mom, I blame you a little bit. Just a little bit. But that's it. But yeah.
Can your older siblings speak Japanese?
They can't, but my brother like picked it up really quickly. He lived in Japan for 10 years and he picked it up really quickly when he started studying again. And for me, it was basically like a foreign, 100% foreign person, like starting studying. I think I did hear like some stuff when she was talking on the telephone when she was younger.
So I think that helped me out a little bit. But yeah, it was pretty much from zero when I came over here. So maybe I understand, like, you had a little bit of a drive to kind of connect with your roots a little bit and stuff.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And I when I came to Japan at that for that family holiday, we kind of went past, my family's from Akita, and we went to sort of see them in a really brief sort of trip along the holiday. And I mean, it was, for me, it was criminal not to be able to, like, communicate with these people. Not just that, to, like, have neglected that. And, you know, grew up in New Zealand, and it's, like, a wee way away or whatever, but, like, it was really my responsibility at that point. I sort of said, okay, now it's time. So, it's, you know, motivated a little bit, like, later on, I guess, in my later 20s.
So, Akita, that's northern Honshu. So, the climate, I guess, is very similar to Hokkaido in terms of the winter. It's very, a lot of snow in Akita and stuff. Man.
It was amazing. Like, we came to, my father, my brothers and I came to Akita when I was like 9 years old in the middle of winter. And I was blown away by the snow. Like, as a kid, you're just like, what is this? And like, New Zealand, we get snow, but not like that. And that was part of the reason, part of the motivation for me to come up to Hokkaido and, like, check out the snow again, because I was, like, intrigued by it ever since. And that's, you know, 20 years of, like, thinking about it. Well, not thinking about it, but I had this image in my mind of this incredible snow, and that's part of the reason why I came up here.
How does it compare to Akita, like Hokkaido and Akita, the snow-wise?
I mean, it was in the middle of winter back then, and all I remember was, like, being a kid and the snow was like above my knees, and I was like, what is this? Like, we get dustings where I'm from, my hometown, Nelson. But you got to drive like an hour and a half, and even then the snow is just not very good. So yeah.
The Japanese in Akita, is it Akitaben? They have a specific Japanese too, right? Like, and I think I've heard it's like really strong. So it's like, some people, if you're not from Akita, like, you can't understand Akitaben.
I can't understand.
You can't understand it.
I need a translator.
Yeah, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
You should mention that your father's also from Akita as well.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So have you been to Akita as well, Tomoko?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. Every year we used to go on a family trip to Akita to see our old family. Yeah, it's in the summer, basically. But it's just, I love it there, but too hard to understand what they are saying.
Yeah, it's different. And I think now, actually, unfortunately, I think Akita, isn't it in Japan? It's the area of Japan where the population is decreasing the most or something, right? Yeah.
My father told me that when we went there 6 months ago.
Yeah.
the most town that's decreasing the most in population.
At the fastest rate, I think, the population.
Just,
I mean,
people
across
leaving.
Japan, the population is dropping. But in Akita, yeah, the rate of the decline in the population, I think, is the fastest. I think they even said maybe in the world, or second in the world or something. It's pretty high. I'm not sure, but I don't know about that. But yeah, definitely in Japan. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know, it's a cool place, but this.
Good apples,
good,
right?
Apples,
yeah, that's what they're famous for. And the dogs.
Hanabi or something as well, right?
What brought you to Hokkaido, Tomoko?
I just got some chance. I went to Melbourne for 1 year, and I had a friend, and he invited me to work in Hokkaido. And at the moment, I came back to Japan, I was in my hometown. And he just, like, strongly was like, walk with me, why not? It's just one year. It's like, okay, I've never been in Hokkaido. I've never seen that much of snow in my life. Why not? So I went to for 1 year, and somehow I ended up for just 3 years and 4 years.
3 years,
so,
right?
So that was Niseko.
Yeah.
Ben, you worked in Niseko for a little while too.
I didn't work. I just snowboarded. Yeah. So I did. Right. I did like one season there after my first year in Japan. Quit my Eikaiwa job and then collected unemployment insurance for 3 months and then just snowboarded. But my girlfriend at the time, she worked in Niseko, which is why I went there and then lived in her staff lodging. And then just snowboard every day. Yeah, so did season.
How long?
I was just there for the winter, just like 3 months, and then came back to Sapporo. Yeah, it was a good lifestyle. Apart from everyone that I knew was working whilst I was snowboarding, so they were there to do seasons as well. But they had to work during the daytime, and I'd see them at night and they'd ride in the weekends. So I was kind of, it was a little bit lonely. I was riding by myself a lot.
Like, was there many, I mean, what was the ratio with like foreigners to sort of Japanese staff there, out of curiosity?
Back then, I was there in 2009, and you mean staff you're talking about?
Yeah, staff.
I would say it was a lot more foreigners, probably like, yeah, two to one, almost double.
Yeah, we should probably let people know. So Niseko that we're talking about is, I mean, many people probably already know about it, but it's become one of the most popular ski resorts in the world, definitely in Asia. They say Hokkaido is the number one winter destination in Asia right now, and a lot of that is because of Niseko. It's a very large ski resort, and how many mountains? Three mountains, technically?
Three mountains, yeah. Hirafu, Anupuri, and Nisko Village.
Yeah, and they're legendary for powder snow off the Sea of Japan, or generated by the cold air off the Sea of Japan. And so 2009, that was probably right after the financial crisis, so that was kind of when the second boom was probably getting started again, right?
It was before it really kicked off. Like, they didn't have all the massive hotels. Like, now they have the resort hotels. It wasn't like that back then. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys do? You guys, what are your jobs?
We manage a lodge in Rusutsu. So that's, like, there's one of the sort of the main areas, or one of the main sort of, like, landmarks of the Niseko sort of area is Yote-san. Mount Yote, and we are in a resort. We live in, we manage a resort, which is on the other side of Yote-san. So basically, it's like across from the mountain. So we run the lodge there and the restaurant as well.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there's many ski resorts in Hokkaido, but basically Niseko and Rusutsu are the biggest. Which one is bigger? I think Rusutsu is actually.
Niseko is bigger, I think.
Is it bigger?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Well, it definitely has like a bigger village. There's a lot more hotels, resorts, and restaurants and everything. But in terms of actual size of runs and everything,
but they got three mountains.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas Rizutsu has two, I guess. They have the. I won't really class the smaller one as a separate resort, right?
No, it's kind of like a little hill mole. Hill thing.
Yeah.
And you said this is your first season working at the lodge. What's the what
second.
Is the second season? Okay. And that's what is that the name of the lodge
so,
itself?
Rizutsu Lodges is the actual accommodation. And within the accommodation, there's a little restaurant, like 32-seater restaurant called The Red House. So as sort of like, they kind of come hand in hand. And this is my second season doing it. Tomoko's first season, but this is my second.
Is it only you two running both of those places, or do you have like other staff helping you out?
We have other staff. So there's, until recently, March, kind of the shoulder season where it kind of drops off. Until recently, I think we had 9 staff, including us.
But you guys are the managers, basically. You're running.
We run day to day.
And how many rooms are in the lodges?
It's 10.
10 rooms. Okay.
Yeah. There's a mixture of Western style rooms, Japanese style rooms, and like self contained units.
How's it been this season, considering like the lack of snow? It's been a slow winter, right, compared to previous years in terms of snow-wise, but...
For me, it was, like, normal, like, high season all packed and low season just drop down. But, yeah, I think this year is even we got the worst snow ever. We got heaps of people because everyone booked in advance, so it didn't really affect us, I think. But coronavirus, yes, a lot.
Right, yeah. So has that affected you since, what, the last kind of month or so? Like in, February?
It's been weird because it was like a slow boil and then it just sort of erupted, right? And I remember reading about it in the news in January and I was like, whatever. And then it just sort of like came, like, and it washed across the world super quickly and it happened in real time with the lodge as well. So, you know, one day you're looking at the booking sheets and, you know, it looked pretty good for March and looked pretty good for the end of February, and then 2 or 3 days later you'd look at the booking sheet and half of them had been cancelled, and it's been catastrophic. Okay, not like gonna like end of the world for the business, but it certainly like had a big impact on us.
Well, I think everywhere. I just I know a not too well, but I kind of know an owner of a somebody who just opened a luxury sushi restaurant in Niseko from this year. Like, worst timing possible to open a restaurant. But yeah, they didn't have any bookings basically from the middle of February through March. And normally, like, you can't get a reservation at that place. Well, at the start of the season this year, you couldn't get a reservation. So now they're even running a special where up to four people can eat for free. Luxury sushi.
What? Yeah. Really?
Whoa. Yeah, if one person makes a reservation, yeah. Sushikato in Niseko, if anybody's listening and going to Niseko soon, yeah, Sushikato, please check that out.
Eat for free.
Yeah, four people, yeah.
That's
and where are most of the people who are making reservations usually at the Rasuchi Lodges? Are they from, like, Australia or Europe or within Japan or Asia? Or?
A lot of them are Asian tourists, so we have, I mean, a lot of them are from... So it's kind of interesting, the breakdown of the customs of the season. In December and in March, they tend to come from Asia more. So places like Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, China, these sort of places. And then in the peak season, so what's that, March? Sorry, January, February, they tend to be from Australia, America, New Zealand, Canada. And so a lot of our, a lot, but not all of them, I'd say really like maybe two-thirds, I don't know, maybe, seem to be from Asia, that the, for the ones that have cancelled, more or less.
Is the season finishing early? Because of what's happening, like with the coronavirus, like are you guys closing early or something like that?
We've had to sort of adjust a little bit in terms of hours for our staff, which has been a bit difficult. We've had to sort of say, look, I mean, everyone can see the bookings and we're pretty transparent about it because it's just super obvious. I mean, no one expected this, but we've had to adjust accordingly, which, you know, is a little bit tough.
I think everywhere is, yeah.
Yeah. And, but we're trying to just keep going and keep going. I mean, one of the good things, though, is that for Rasuchi Lodge and the Red House is that, you know, it's a nifty little spot. And we still have customers, you know, like, it's still better than what it was last year, even at this time, even with coronavirus, even with the bad snow. So, do you know what I mean? Like, it's still, we're just going through the motions, I guess, and just getting through the season, I think.
Well, your location is pretty sweet. It's like right next to the Seiko Mart and the 7-Eleven, like right in between.
Yeah, right.
Right opposite the resort.
Yeah.
Because I never knew what hotel it was, but I'm always, like, I go to Rasuchi a lot, but we always kind of stop off at either Seiko Mart or 7-Eleven.
Well, next time you gotta come say hello.
Yeah.
We have a happy hour.
All right. Oh, you have a happy hour. What time is the happy hour?
2 to 5:30, I think.
2 till 5. From 2 to 5:30. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a long hour. Yeah.
Long hours. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys definitely have a good chef because I see on the Facebook page, which there's a Facebook page, right, for both companies.
Yeah,
because I see the meals that the chef is preparing at the Red House. Definitely some good-looking meals there and stuff. So
yeah. We do Facebook. So, we do the Facebook. We push the Facebook pretty hard. Okay. I mean, it's good. It's interesting. The lodge has been around for ages. But before, the previous owners were sort of an elderly Japanese couple, you know, having a pension, this sort of thing. My boss came along and decided that he'd, you know, renovate it and turn it into something a bit more modern, you might say. And over the past, I think this is his fourth season or third season, and yeah, like, it's really come up. Like, it's really amazing to see the transformation between, you know, and this is only my second season, but from then to now it was, like, quite amazing. So, you know, we try to push the Facebook, we try to push those, the Instagram, but you know what it is, actually, is that, like, if you don't pick it, if you don't know where it is, it's because there wasn't a sign before, whereas now we have a big sign, so, like, you can see us if you go to, like, second night, so, yeah, it's...
Is it, like, it's a lodge, right? So...
It's a lodge. It's kind of like a pension, though.
Dorms? Do they have, like, dorms?
It's a pension, basically.
Japanese-style old hotel, right? Yeah. It's a pension.
So it's like shared facilities with like a private room. So it's not like a dorm where you have like share a room with other people. So like you'll book a room, but like the facilities are shared. So the toilets and the showers and stuff are shared. But there's also like, as I said, there's like self-contained units as well.
And how much would you be paying for like for one night? If like I rocked up by myself, how much would I be paying?
For yourself?
Yeah, yeah. If I was, yeah, just one person.
I think in the winter we don't do one person. If you do that, you have to pay two people.
Oh, so it's like a minimum two people.
Yeah, I don't think there's actually too many places that easily offer just one person reservations anymore, because like it just doesn't really make sense, because you can always be getting multiple person reservations.
Yeah,
stuff,
so it's always better to travel with a friend or something, usually in most situations, especially during the winter time.
Yeah.
So like $200 for one night.
Yeah. And so like the lodge has occupancy rate of the high season of about, I think this year is like 93%, 95%. So like
it's really good.
Yeah, it's really high. It's amazing. And so I guess like for the business, it doesn't really make much sense to take one person where like it's basically full and you could take two or three or four people, if that makes any sense.
So is the lodge running, are the Rusutsu lodges open year round or is it seasonal, just winter season?
Winter and summer.
Winter and summer.
And also Golden Week coming up in May. Yeah, beginning of May.
But it's going to be hard to imagine, like, the same busyness from the wintertime to the summer. Like, imagine, like, hundreds of people hiking a mountain together. It's going to be ridiculous, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it'll ever match the winter. But before this whole thing happened with coronavirus, like, I mean, Niseko, like, I know a lot of people from Asia who go, like, glamping. Like camping in Niseko, like during the summer months, they have like summer camps for children. So a lot of people from Asia are bringing their kids over. So I think it's a matter of time before it spreads outside of Niseko to other places and stuff. But
is what's it like? I mean, I'm particularly sensitive to insects that bite. Are there, what's it like for like mosquitoes and stuff over summer?
Well, there's the killer bee. Right?
You gotta watch out for the Hokkaido killer bee.
Yeah. What's it called again? What's the Japanese name?
Something hachi, I think, like demon, you know? Demon hachi.
It's like a giant
demon hachi.
Sounds scary.
Yeah.
Is there really one?
Yeah, there is one.
Oh, really?
I remember I went around Niseko probably last summer and I was going camping or glamping, but we stayed at like this kind of out kind of lodge, wooden lodge, and then we're gonna go hiking just around a local area just by some lake, and the manager was like, be careful of the killer bee, and there were signs everywhere saying be careful of the killer bee in Japanese. Can't remember what the name of it was, but it's apparently if you get stung by it you have like an hour to get to the hospital, otherwise you're gonna die. Apparently, this was what I was warned. So, when we went hiking, I was with my family, and my missus saw one of these bees, and she saw it, and straight away she was just like, "Run!" And then like, she just started legging it, and I wasn't too fussed. Like, I didn't really realize how serious it was.
Yeah.
And you know, with insects, normally if you ignore them, they're not going to attack you. So I just carried on walking, and then when I got back to the hotel, my missus told the manager what happened, and he was like, man, you are so lucky that bee didn't sting you. But I was like, you know, if you leave them alone, they're probably not going to sting you, right? Usually.
Yeah.
And maybe if you run, they're probably more likely to
set them
you.
Off, yeah.
If you like flail and like yell, like, oh my god, don't sting me, kick everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, the bee's just going into self defense, man. You know, it's probably scared. Your bee's probably more scared of you than you are of the bee.
Yeah, it was pretty funny how fast my missus ran, though. And she just like literally just sprinted straight away without even kind of, you know, turning to me or.
And you didn't even really know what she
was. No, I thought she was just going for a run. And I was like, man, you're running pretty fast. But she was like, run!
In general, like, are you guys worried about coronavirus or not really worried? I mean, you know, because obviously in the media, like Japan, everyone's just hearing about, like, it's one of those countries that was having such a difficult time dealing with it. You know, there's a talk about the lockdown in Hokkaido, but personally, are you guys worried by it very much? Tomoko?
I don't know. I'm not at all. Especially we are in Rusutsu, which is now less people, and we don't really travel a lot, and if you don't go somewhere, really, a lot of people goes, and you are fine. I'm not that sensitive, but some people are really crazy for that now. Like, my mom texted me a couple of days ago, and there's no natto and yogurt, because people believe that help a lot for coronavirus or whatever.
Natto and yogurt. It's funny you say that, because the other day when people were panic buying for toilet paper, I went out on a mission to find toilet paper for my wife, and I went to the supermarket, and the whole natto shelf was like empty. And I went back and I told my wife, I was like, yeah, I noticed there was no natto, and she was like, no, that was probably just a coincidence. I was like, no. Yeah, like, unless it was all, it all went bad on one day, like, there was no natto. So natto does not help. Is that what you're saying? Does it help?
No,
yeah,
maybe
it helps.
So.
Yeah.
So Japanese people believe natto is going to protect you from the coronavirus.
Yes.
Oh, I never knew that. I might start spreading that news to my friends.
Yeah. Guys, go and get some natto. Yeah. Incidentally, we're actually making natto at the moment, homemade natto. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. How do you make homemade natto?
I actually don't know. Tomorrow, I just got to look at her, she makes it. But yeah, we've got lots. Next time we come to Sapporo, we'll give you guys some medicine.
Yeah, I love it.
Sure.
It.
What do you, are you just taking like the edamame and like leaving it to ferment or something? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. So you get dried daisu, soybeans, and you soak water for like one day. And the next day you boil it for like 3 or 4 hours, very slow cook. And after that you like get rid of all the water. And what you do is just get one pack of natto and like just one spoon of natto, put it in a hot water, like maybe 40 degrees, and mix well and put this water into the soybeans and leave it somewhere very warm, like 40 degrees, to keep the things going on.
Oh, wow.
Fermenting.
Yeah, fermenting.
So are you making this because of the coronavirus?
Yeah, dude. I don't need to go to the supermarket.
We sell it.
Oh, wow. Natto from Hokkaido, man. That would probably sell like crazy.
Handmade.
Yeah, natural.
Yeah, natural. Yeah.
Just from experience working in a lodge and stuff, because a lot of people come, a lot of customers come. Like, is there anything like customers could do a little bit better to be good guests at like a lodging place? And I mean, are there any things that like you notice definitely different from foreign travelers to Japanese travelers? Everyone's pretty courteous about.
I think they are, right? Really, honestly, like a lot of our customers have been to Japan before. Is there actually not that many who haven't been here before? And a lot of them are regulars. They're really like very courteous, I think. They're not. We have a different kind of clientele to Niseko, for example, because I don't know. Niseko is like known as more of a party town. Rusatsu is way more chill, way more kind of family orientated. For some, I mean, there's nothing in Rusatsu. Like honestly, there's like 6 bars, 5 bars. That's it, basically. So,
what are they putting up right now? They're putting up, like, the Veil right now or
the
something?
The Veil, yeah.
Is that going to have restaurants in it as well?
Presumably, but...
Okay, all right.
I mean, they'll only add, like, what, a couple. Okay. Like, there's really not a lot there. So we have a lot of sort of, like, not older people, but, like, a little bit older. We don't have, like, the drunken morons that, like, walk down the street, vomit, and all the rest of it in the Seco. So it's a little bit of a different crowd. I don't know. Like, you, Tomoko, you've been in both... towns.
Yeah.
It's different, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit more, chill. Maybe like more family. There's family with chill people.
Which do you prefer? Niseko or Rusatsu?
I really like both of it, but Niseko is just too much young, drunk people. And they make a lot of trouble always.
Yeah, we used to have a, we knew somebody who, he was a really big foreign guy who kind of lived in that area, and like the Hokkaido police would like call him like all the time and be like, you got more drunk foreigners, and he'd like have to go and like help them out and deal with them and stuff.
Oh, he was like the local security, wasn't he?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I don't know if he's like even officially hired, but he was kind of like their one phone call away.
I think I know who you're talking about. He's like walk his dogs all the time, and then they just call him up.
He's not the same dude.
Real big dude.
Yeah,
people knew about this, that he had to go help out with like the troublemaking foreigners. Yeah,
what do you call that, like the drunken foreigner liaison
enforcer.
And
I think he just wear like regular clothes and just walk around, so everyone knew who he was, but he wasn't like uniformed or anything like that. I think he was Canadian guy, right?
I don't remember. He was North American. I don't remember if he was from the US or from Canada. But I mean, I can't complain about it too much. I was actually in Niseko a few weekends ago, and I was part of that drunk foreign crowd. So yeah, guilty right here. But I mean, look, I mean, if you're gonna go to Niseko and there's bars, like, what are you going to do at night, you know? So, but they do need to find out a little bit way to get, you know, better behavior, because nobody wants to walk around seeing, like, you know, throw up on the ground and everything. So,
I mean,
yeah.
I would say, like, there's kind of a difference between being drunken and having a good time and being respectful and just being an idiot. Like, I mean, a lot of people have traveled to Thailand, for example, and you see, like, a lot of, no offense, English and Australian kind of young people just go get wasted and just kind of make an ass of them, so they're not respectful for the local people, the local culture, and there's just a lot of that. Do you know what I mean? So
you don't really get that in Rizutsu.
Not so much, yeah.
Not so much.
Not yet.
Exactly.
Not yet.
What would you say are the most difficult guests? Like, what country or area would you say the most difficult guests come from?
Who would you like to throw under the bus? Well, you were saying it was mostly like Hong Kong, Singapore, Thailand, and also some like Australians and Europeans, or not too many?
No. Yeah, it's like for the most part, the high season is like Australians, New Zealanders, Americans, Canadians, and some Europeans. Not a lot, but some. In the middle 2 months, so January, February, and then on the shorter months, so December, March, there tend to be more from Asia. With regards to your previous question,
all right, who are the best ones? Who are the best ones?
I don't know. For me, I love it with like Kiwis turn up, because I'm like, oh, it's a nice accent. Yeah, I don't know.
I read an article that was saying, at least for Niseko, like, a lot of the Australians are actually, the numbers have dropped down like significantly. They're all going to, where is it, Hakuba? Is that the name of the?
Yeah. The Japanese Alps?
Yeah, and that's had like a huge boom in the number of people that are buying properties there from Australia. In fact, they're going to like start a new system, a list of keeping track of all the foreigners who are buying properties there, because they're even saying they want to prevent like the same situation from Niseko happening, where it's mostly foreign-owned, just because unfortunately when it is foreign-owned, all that revenue is, again, all the money's getting transferred out of Japan instead of staying in Japan. So, but anyways, it sounds like the numbers have dropped quite significantly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point, because if you, like, Niseko is like, it's like hard to see. It doesn't feel like Japan, you know, when you're there. But I mean, what I would say about that, I mean, it's interesting because like a lot of that money, the investment comes from offshore. So there's that big new hotel, I think it's like Hong Kong back, Hong Kong money something.
Oh my, yeah, so many Hong Kong based hotels, but don't drop any money in Japan.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing. So it's like this weird double edged sword where it's like, okay, like it's a really good thing to like for Japanese people to like hold onto that land and to get the profits from that, and I'm all for that 100%, but at the same time, like, a lot of those Japanese companies aren't investing, and so you have these other companies who are coming in, offshore companies. Well, like, look, let's just throw down like several, like tens of millions, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars in a place like Niseko, for example, and then they've got this new infrastructure, this new hospitality, da 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 da, da, and it kind of drives a little bit of growth through. And for me, like, looking at it, like, I wish that more Japanese companies would invest more in those ski resorts, because it's better for like tourism, it's better for local jobs, it's better for like everybody. And unfortunately, there's just not a lot of that. And a prime example is like Komori Kanko, which is owns the Risutsu Resort, and they haven't done anything in 30 years, and the place looks like it's like falling apart. Like, we have customers that come across from skiing and they're like, man, that place is a dive, why does anyone go there? I mean, the skiing's really good, but like the actual resort itself is horrible. I mean, if you've walked through there, you'd be like, oh cool, I've sipped back to 1988, you know, like they haven't, yeah, totally, they haven't like painted, they haven't like done da da da, all these sort of things. And you know, some of these like offshore companies, they're actually spending the money investing, whereas these Japanese companies are just like, no, like they're way more cautious, they're way more conservative, and as a result, I think you got the facilities a little bit like second rate, and a lot of European people come and they're like, man, this place is kind of crap. So it's an interesting thing going on.
So you think it's kind of the mentality, or is it just like certain people are trying to control the area, or is it, I mean, what do you think it is? Is it Japanese culture, or is it just those people, those current owners?
I think definitely Japanese culture is something too, because any of like a lot of Japanese business are really conservative. They never take a risk. So even say that, so sell the business is not the thing in Japan really. What happens is always you own the business until you die. That's pretty much Japan's business, right?
Just hold on to it forever.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the Resista Lodges, like the place we manage, they had, you know, like an elderly Japanese couple there for years and years and years, and they did a little bit, but, you know, it was a little bit run down, it was a little bit da-da-da-da. I mean, it was cheap, so customers enjoyed the fact that it was, like, cheaper. But at the same time, I think, like, clients, customers, they're not necessarily looking for cheaper. They're, like, want something that's more comfortable, they're willing to pay for it. And that's where the renovations from Lilehuse, is what it was called before, to Risutsu Lodges, it kind of meets the needs of the customers more, and that requires a bit of investment, requires a bit of renovations and work. And that's sort of, that is a positive thing that a little bit of foreign investment can offer to these areas. And I'm not saying that like everything should be owned by foreigners, absolutely not, but they need to strike a nice balance between the two of them.
What's the feeling out there? Is there a feeling that it might go, there might be an opportunity for more development, or does everyone kind of feel like it's just stagnant and nobody knows when it might actually pick up? Or
Forrest Sue, or
yeah,
I mean, the resort has a major stranglehold on the land. I mean, you guys probably know about it more than I do. I mean, I kind of hear about it second, third, my hand or whatever, but there is a, because the land hasn't been, is not able to be developed like it is in Niseko or even Hakuba, it's just all kind of controlled by one company, which is Komori Kanko, and they, like, it just can't be the same sort of thing.
So they don't want to sell?
I don't know exactly, like, what's going on there, like, what do you know?
I have no idea, but I don't think they want to sell it.
Or they have plans, hopefully, but like you said, they haven't done anything for
years. Well, interestingly, like, the Veil is moving in there, so I don't know what's going on there, but, like...
Yeah, because that's American-owned, right, the Veil?
I think the Veil is, yeah, but to be honest, I don't want to say anything bad about the Veil, but, I mean, I was kind of, somebody was, like,
but
following.
I will.
Yeah, but I will. What I'm saying is I was following it, and, you know, because I was kind of considering of investing with some people, and, I mean, they have, like, it's not timeshare, but you have to have it available. I mean, it's like all resorts, actually. You have to have it available for a certain number of nights during the season, availability for outside reservations and stuff. And what is the word? Do you know? Does it sound like there's a full, like, are all the rooms have owners now in the Veil, or you don't?
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'd like to find out, actually. What I do know is that there has been a little bit more development a little bit further down the valley, away from the resort and the town. So there's a little more development. We had a few customers coming in early in the season in December saying, oh, you know, I'm just here to check out, my house is being built, blah 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 blah. So there is actually like more people coming through. And also I would say as well is that like what sort of happened is that A lot of the people who, you know, Australians predominantly, they'll go to Niseko, go there for a little bit, realize how busy it is, and then I'll go to the next resort down the way. In the same way they're talking about, like, you know, they were the ones who bought the property, now they're all selling up to people from Hong Kong and other parts of Asia, for example, moving to places like Hakuba. What they're doing is they're coming on holiday to places like Rusutsu and Furano instead of going to Niseko. So there's kind of like a spill-off effect, like kind of coming down. And so I think Rusutsu is like in a pretty good place, because a lot of those customers that were going there, they're now coming here.
Yeah, looking for a new place.
Totally.
Do you know, like, Japanese people, not really, they're not interested in coming to Hokkaido as much as they were before? Or?
Well, everyone want to, really want to come to Hokkaido, but everywhere is booked out before they want to, because what happens is, like, foreign people can book way beforehand, because they know when they can have a big holiday. But Japanese people have, like, really limited days they can have a holiday, like 3-4 days is maybe maximum maybe. And think about that, when they want to book, it's already, like, booked out, what, too expensive. So it's, people want to come over, but it's less chance for Japanese people, which is really sad. Yeah,
because it's Japan. Yeah.
So you don't get many Japanese guests at the lodge?
Absolutely not, really.
Wow. We had, like, quite a few for March.
Yeah, dropped. Yeah.
But the coronavirus just killed all the business.
Yeah. And they were coming from, like, other parts of Japan?
Yeah, basically they are come from, like, Kansai region, or Tokyo is the most popular place, I think. But yeah, everyone says, like, I'm from there, but compared to where I'm from, the snow is, like, way better.
Yeah. How are bookings looking for, like, next season?
Like, yeah, when do you guys start taking bookings? Yeah,
we're actually already taking
bookings. Yeah, they started taking bookings like months ago for next season.
So how's that looking?
Good.
Even though coronavirus is going on, everyone's pretty confident that it's going to go away. Yeah, well, we're coming up to that time. So where can we find your lodge? How can people find your lodge? You have a website?
There's a website. www.
We'll mention that, but there's a, I mean, if you go, like, on the Facebook page, there's the phone number, there's the website, everything. Are there two Facebook pages, or is just one?
There's one for the lodge and one for the restaurant.
Okay.
So, like, if, you know, if any of your listeners are, like, hanging around and want to come out for, like, a meal or something as well, totally do that. Obviously, there's the
happy
the
hour.
It's a good happy hour. We have
I'll be there next time for sure.
Yeah, totally. You know, but, like, it's a lovely place to visit. Like, it is beautiful, and, you know, go up on the gondola, like, have a little ski down. Yote sounds like really close. Yeah, it's a great little spot. So
and there's not too many spots out there. So
yeah.
Do you guys have an onsen?
We have a sento.
I wish we could, but yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, yeah. Is your sento available for just, like, guests to just walk in and,
you know, if somebody asked me, I'd be like, go for it.
For free?
But if you came and bought a beer, you'd be like, yeah, man, go for gold.
Sweet. All right. I will tell all my friends that next time.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys. It's been real good fun talking to you too.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Bye.